All right, welcome back to the Pelly Pod. This is your host, Jesse, along with Tyler and Jonathan. And we are fresh off a win, a matinee win at the Clippers. And we're going to kind of recap the last 2 weeks. All different games. Obviously, since we last talked, we've had some player injury issues. But let's just start with the Clippers game. As far as the Clippers game goes today, I thought at first it was looking bleak. And then luckily we were able to pull it out. Is there anything that today that, you know, surprised you guys, made you, you know?
Yeah, we came off. We came out very slow. That first quarter felt disastrous. I thought I was watching Kanye West tear down his empire. That's the type of basketball that was playing being played on the court. But I'm happy we turned things around. And so just if we're talking big picture here before we get into any specifics, you can tell that this team's never going to give up. No matter who we play, no matter who's out on the court, no matter how well or how poorly we're playing, I can't count this team out like I could in years prior. And also in years prior, we could be up by 30, and I was afraid. Yeah. You know, so this team, it's clear if we have a lead, we're not stopping. If we're down, we're not stopping. If it's close, we're not stopping. If we have three starters out, if we have key backups out, we're not stopping. So you got to freaking fight. It's kind of the motto, and Willie Green has instilled it in his players, and it's great to see that effort night in and night out. And I think we saw that tonight for 95% of the game.
And so what about you, Tyler? Anything impressed you tonight?
Yeah, to Jonathan's end point, it was the coaching staff for a couple different reasons. It's one, basically what he said, the reason we're like that, you have to give the credit to the coaches there. You know, a lot of times fan conversations begin and end with rotations and weird play calling type arguments in NBA fan bases. But the coaching's a lot about preparation, and Willie always has his guys prepared to play whoever they're going to play with a legit game plan going in. And what's good is that they are not, you know, Willie Green is not a stubborn coach. You know, we've seen that with Stan Van Gundy. Willie Green is willing to change things up, see what works best, adapt, and keep going. And that's a great trait to have as a coach. So for my example for this game, where I really saw that was how they used Zion in this game. It was different than how they used him, you know, Zion's first three games. They tried something a little different. Now, maybe that's because, you know, B.I. and Herb weren't available, or maybe that's something they wanted to try with Zion. We don't know yet, but it looks like how they had him played today might be more of what we see in the future for him.
Yeah, that would be like my specific thing that stuck out today the most is the utilization of Zion today as a playmaker. So the first, how many games did he play before he got injured? Three games or so? It was almost exclusively post-ups, right?
Yeah,
or very much so. Almost immediately. And that was very similar to what I saw with Alvin Gentry when we would run those fast-paced offenses. With Alvin Gentry, he would say, Zion, get down the court before they could double-team you and post up, and we're going to get it to you quick. If not, we're still going to get it to you in the post, and we're going to make you go to work. And it seems like Willie Green's staff has implemented that version of Zion a lot more, which works extremely well, especially when you have Trey Murphy on the court with him, and another revelation that we'll have to talk about later, Devontae Graham on the court with him, CJ McCollum on the court with him. When you have those shooters, it seems like that version of Zion works. But today you saw, and I think you're going to see going forward, especially if he's on the court without B.I., he could be a secondary playmaker. Do I think that's his most efficient role? It could be. But right now, it doesn't seem like he is the better option if we had to choose between CJ McCollum, B.I., or Zion making plays. But it was nice to see that with the ball in his hands, he did make smart decisions, had 7 assists. I mean, Jesse, how many potential assists did he have, though? You know, yeah. we had wide open shots that a lot of people missed. Yeah, so much is talked about gravity in this league. And, you know, it's borderline cliche now, talking about Zion's gravity, but you could see that he attracts a lot of attention on the offensive end, and him being a playmaker with the ball in his hands today was very nice to see him execute and be efficient, and the turnovers weren't as big of an issue today with Zion.
And so one thing, I don't know if you guys got to watch the halftime interview with Coach Casey Hill. Mm-hmm. Basically, he just said that in terms of the first half, he said that the Clippers threw a lot of wonky things at them defensively that they necessarily weren't prepared for. And so he was saying that he was actually surprised that they weren't down by more. And he says he felt like the Clippers didn't utilize that defensive strategy to flip it on the offensive end and kind of run on them and, you know, create a decent amount of separation. So I thought that was interesting how he said, like, you know, it was this wonky strategy that they were able to figure out close to the end of the second half. And then they came, you know, at the end of the second quarter. And then, you know, you come out the third and fourth quarter and you just kind of just create that separation. So, yeah. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it is more of a chess match than what we actually think, right? Like, I think a lot of people just say, rotations, but then we have to remember that, like, a lot of these coaches and teams prepare specifically for certain players and have certain game plans that can kind of throw us off, and that definitely happened tonight, and definitely credit to, as y'all was saying, to the coaches, you know, for recognizing that early in the game and just setting up those adjustments.
Yeah, and I mean, Ty Lue's an awesome coach with those type of things. Comes out with some weird zone defenses against us tonight, and then the next possession they're in man, mm-hmm. but the Clippers are a veteran team that knows what they're doing on that end. And fortunately for us, the lead only got to 11. I know that sounds crazy, but they only were in the lead by 11 in the second quarter. And it felt like if they would have made shots, it would have ballooned a lot more. So they did not take advantage of those wonky things on the offensive end, fortunately for us. And I mean, a small part of this doesn't take away from the Pelicans' hard work. It doesn't take away from anybody's hard work and effort. But sometimes you do need a little bit of luck. And when you see the Clippers miss wide open threes, which they were a top three team in shooting the past two seasons. So to have a little bit of luck on our side that the lead didn't balloon into an unmanageable position. Hey, I'm just happy that Willie Green made adjustments and took advantage of that luck.
I was like, what the hell's a balloon? He's really whipping out the
balloon.
Teacher definitions.
That wasn't an SAT word. Yeah, that was just like, a fuck up of mine. Thanks for pointing out, Tyler.
Tyler was Googling that word on the side. I don't even realize it. You were trying to figure out what that meant.
Goddamn.
So I'll point out one thing that about this game that I thought was interesting.
Balloon.
What was a pattern we didn't see in this game that had Zion in it?
Stopping me, Coach. I don't know.
Yeah, don't know.
Did y'all complain about fouls with Zion today?
Yeah, the referees were a lot more balanced.
Or was it how Zion played? Because I talked about this a little with Jonathan at our game against Utah. Part of the whole quote-unquote point Zion, whatever the fuck you want to call it, you're putting the ball in his hands, but you're actually giving him a head of steam to go to the basket now. Whereas before, he was getting everything in the low post, and that became easy for doubles. That became easy for the big to set up to block the shot. And, you know, once you're in the scrum like that, it's a lot easier for a ref to just kind of sit on the whistle. But when he's coming in with a head of steam and bodies collide, they're going to have to call stuff. You give them no choice at that point. That's just for player safety reasons. And some people, like Paul George did today, are going to make business decisions and not even try to touch him because they don't want to hit a 290-pound person coming down 20 miles an hour every time. So I think that gives us an advantage as well for Zion and his gravity. That's not to say, you know, go away from the post-ups, which they did because he's tremendous out of it because of his first step. But
you know what's another thing too? I think
that'll help.
I think, first off, I absolutely agree. Having a ball in his hands, making him more of a guard instead of a post-up type player.
He's a slasher. I mean,
guards are going to get the benefit of a whistle clearly a lot more in this league. So why not create that guard role for Zion? Makes a lot of sense. I mean, it clearly makes sense. But I mean, what's interesting is we had a 2 p.m. Tip-off time?
Yeah, so what is
that? I think the referees were like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Because we shot, you ready for this?
Some stuff.
We shot 8 free throws.
Yep.
But I mean, to credit them, the Clippers only shot 13. Like, it wasn't a big disparity there. The whistle was held. I even texted y'all, I'm like, yo, this game's flying by. There's barely any stoppages. This is awesome.
I just think the game flows a little bit better too, right, when it's played like that.
Right.
Like, I don't mind a game where if no one's getting calls and you're just letting them play, then just let them play, you know?
And it seemed like that was from the beginning. And you noticed nobody was complaining, like barely any complaints from the players the entire time. That was, I think, the best referee.
CJ one was bullshit. That should have been a foul. The non-GP oh, the jump been, one.
A take foul for
a
sure.
A take foul.
And then they called the foul on Devontae Graham, which I thought he went straight up and swatted that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, there were some questionable calls.
But those are ones you're like, okay, I guess. The CJ one, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and those stick out like a sore thumb. But as well, as far as how the game was managed by the referees, like, I don't think you can ask for more than what they provided tonight.
No, not at all.
You know?
Yeah. I just think if Zion continues to play this way, I think the call complaint will go down less. I mean, we're probably still going to see some bullshit because some refs are just going to be that way, but I don't know. I hate when refs take control of the game and just try to astute their power upon it, you know.
So you know who was our biggest plus minus tonight?
Najee Marshall.
It's a really good guess. Trey Murphy.
Well, that would have been my second guess.
Yeah. Clearly his space and in presence. But that was interesting because I would have picked Najee.
So I didn't even see, like, I know he didn't shoot good, but it was crazy because I still thought he played well. He just didn't make his shots.
No, he had a low shooting percentage tonight, 3 for 9 from 3, 6 for 16. But
I mean, that's not even that bad.
He's playing
two shots under 50%.
He's playing 37 minutes, man. You can kind of tell that's affecting him a little bit too on some of his shots.
Yeah, on his legs. Yeah.
Playing heavy minutes early
because he's playing really, really good defense. He might not know where to be every single time, but he is active as shit on defense.
I'm willing to make a side segment about Trey Murphy right now. His defense has been amazing. His length has been amazing. Yeah, where the fuck? I mean, I guess he's always had it, but where was this athleticism? Like, if this player comes out of college, there's no way he doesn't get drafted top 10. You know what I'm saying? So it's unreal to see that athleticism. He's driving a little bit confidently. If I had to choose one thing he needs to work on, it's his handles because he's fumbling the ball a little
bit. Yeah, that's his one weakness on
but
the offensive side.
You can tell that, dude, he airballs the shot, or if he fumbles the shot, it affects literally nothing in his game because he's going to do the same exact thing the next play.
He's fitting in real well for having to get thrown right into the starter role for her, but it doesn't feel like. You know, we're missing Herb on defense, but, like, it feels like, hey, we got Trey. It's really not much. Okay, now we have a strength in this area. We might not be as good of a defensive team now, but now we got a bomb out on the perimeter. Like,
I would say the worst defensive minutes we had tonight were probably from Jackson and Trey.
It was Jackson and Trey not communicating. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only time I felt like I was, like, aggravated. Like, when that was going on, like, Kennard or Powell were like constantly getting let open. So, dude, I feel like that was the only lapse on defense tonight.
How about the Clippers, real quick? Like, that's kind of a funny team. They're 2-4 now. They were touted as the number one team coming in.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that I wanted to talk about. They don't have Kawhi, but that's it. They have everybody else. We were missing B.I. and Herb. And we blasted the shit out of them at home.
So somebody said something interesting that on a telecast. I don't know if it was like David Wesley or if it was Joel Myers or Antonio Daniels, but they said that it's got to be weird being on that team when you have a guy like Kawhi who's technically like not hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they just like, oh, some nights a week he's going to be playing. Some days a week he might practice with y'all. And so it's got to fuck up chemistry, right? Because, like, some days a week you get to run this, like, two-headed monster with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and then they just take him away, and then he's not practicing, he's not playing. And then you kind of got to, like, fill that hole. Dude, I mean,
it's got to be weird, man.
Yeah, like, you can't really, like, adjust with each other at that point in time.
As a fan, I would be pretty pissed off if I was a Clippers fan. I'd be pretty irate because guess who... You know, they got they traded Paul George and all that for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Imagine him on the Clippers right now.
Yeah,
SGA with.
I mean, and all the draft capital they traded and everything. And like, Paul George has been good for him. He's been good, but I'd rather Shai for sure.
Right now.
You'd
rather
him right now. This is year four they're having with Paul George.
Yeah,
right?
But Shai's been good for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I just think
I mean, of course. They had to make the move at the time. I get it. I'm just saying, as a Clippers fan, it's like, damn, really did that. And then, like, Kawhi, it just looks like he doesn't really care about your team. But like when he goes out there, he's amazing, and you're like, oh, I forgive you, you're great. And then the next game, he's gone.
So here's the deal: if you're the Clippers, you kind of have to make that trade,
yeah, right? Because
Kawhi doesn't come to you.
I'm just saying, from a fan's perspective, on like
you
how
see,
this should be a great situation, and it's actually a miserable.
But I think
situation.
You see time and time. How many times have we seen that type of situation, though? Right? Like you're seeing it with Kawhi. Like as a Clippers fan, are you happy? Right? Like I don't know. If I'm a Clippers fan, I don't feel as connected to Kawhi and Paul George, who are constantly rotating in and out.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a Lakers fans still comment on our shit. Yo, man, I miss B.I. so much, bro. He was my dog. Like, they don't feel connected to Anthony Davis. Or if you're in Brooklyn, I literally read a Brooklyn fan on Reddit today. Was like, dude, how fun was that lineup before we traded for Kevin Durant? I mean, before we signed KD and Kyrie. They got the eighth seed when they had like Caris LeVert. They had
Spencer Dinwiddie.
D'Angelo Russell.
Like, they were like, Jared Allen.
They were like, how fun is that? And I know in championships are like the all, you know, the end all be all, but we are thoroughly having fun with our team.
Yep.
I would not trade that. That's tough to say, man. But I don't think I would. I would trade that for like a short-term success where you're dealing with superstar players like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because we've seen more of those moves lately, and they almost don't pan out in recent history. Mm-hmm. It seems like they would in every offseason. We're like, oh, this team's going to be incredible now. Like,
well, Anthony Davis trade worked out, but again, it was short-sighted. I mean, it was the one season.
But, you know, and is that, I mean, I'm not one of them guys that like truly take away from the bubble championship, but is that the result at the end of the day? We don't know, but I mean that being their only championship as a fan is kind
of
hurt.
Like at the end of the day, as fans, we have to ask ourselves, like, what type of fan do we want to be?
Yeah.
Right? Like, do we want to be a fan that's like, I don't give a fuck, bro. We want a championship, bro. Worth it. Or do I want to be a fan that's like, I thoroughly enjoy this team and I'm having a blast with them?
Yeah.
And like, what type of fan are you? And I can't fault you either way. I'm just telling you right now, I'm enjoying the fuck out of these Pelicans these past two seasons. And I would not trade a group.
Hold on. I would not
trade a young group of Pelicans players if a guy like Joel Embiid wants out.
You are not enjoying them for the past two seasons. A season and a quarter.
A season and a half. Collectively. I'm enjoying
you
it.
You wanted this team to be burnt to the ground 2 years
Don't
ago.
Don't look at the receipts. I generate positivity through negativity. You need to know that by now. But I'm just saying, guys, like overall, like this group of, you know, it reminds me a lot, and I hate comparing them, but it reminds me a lot of when like we first brought Kamara into the Saints, that 3 year stretch with Kamara and Lattimore and Mike Thomas. Mm-hmm. We really got to know those players. They're pumping fucking New Orleans rap music into the Superdome. We're winning games, we're kicking ass. We might not have won a championship, but like
it was fun.
That was a fun 3-4 years of Saints football. And I feel like with this team, you might be looking at a fun 5, 6, potentially 7 years of basketball.
I see where Lakers fans are coming from when they say worth it, but it can't be now. When you're staring at possibly being 0-6 tonight,
it is,
and you don't have a single draft pick, you have nothing to trade. Like you have to be like this. Yeah. That one championship wasn't worth it. I mean, just think if they keep some of the players they drafted over the years. I mean,
not to mention it wasn't like a franchise built championship. I mean, it was, but it was kind of like a bunch of handed pieces because LeBron came there. Managed to bring in the right clutch guys that actually complimented LeBron unlike recently. But
it was a fumble by them. And I got to
their shit's going to be so interesting to look back on. Like if we go 10 years in the future, it might be like bleakness because they were the worst franchise in the league before that championship pretty much. Like they were terrible.
The post-Kobe era was tough.
Post-Kobe era was terrible. And then now you got this big dip. You're just going to see like this dot in the championship and just the biggest shit show on the two other sides.
And I don't mind talking Lakers because I know everybody gets a little frustrated.
Well, it deals with our
but just directly correlates to like Pelicans. Future success of Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, like I know the cool thing is to say we're going for Wembanyama or something right now. But, dude, looking at the West right now, right? It's a slaughter fest. teams we thought would be in the trash can are at the top of the West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
like, yeah. Is that insane? And it's not like, and I mean, they're going to come down to earth, but dude, the Lakers are already in like a 4-game hole looking into the play-in. Like,
yeah, I mean, they're playing right now is surprisingly Golden State and Oklahoma City.
So imagine if we, you know, actually get into the playoffs, make a run or whatever, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then we land a top, let's just say a top 4 draft pick, because I think that's guaranteed if they were worse in the league, right? 4.
Yeah.
But, dude, because, like, you know, I'm sure everybody would be, it'd be amazing if we got Wembanyama or something like that. But, dude, just imagine if we come out of draft with the 4th pick. Like, that would be nuts to add on to. And if we can hit on that pick again, like it seems like we've been doing lately.
The last thing I can the only comparison you can make is Golden State, right? Where, but I mean, that wasn't even a situation.
And Golden State
trade.
Ain't even really hitting.
No, but it was just Golden State is stocked full of young talent because they had those couple of rough years, but they're stocked full of young talent and they won a championship.
Yep.
Right. So we're hitting. I don't want to make that comparison, but we're hitting like they did hit to start the dynasty, and we have assets in the future. It's a really good place to be in.
Yeah, I mean, just from a future point, like Lakers' future looks bleak. The bleakest.
You never know. They could make a trade. You never know what happens.
For what? What are they gonna
get? I'm just saying
they could get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner right now. They're not even better than the Kings. They're adding those pieces for nothing.
I'm just saying they could make a piece and they could make a trade and potentially make the play in, and we don't get a top four pick.
Not possible with
honestly.
That
I think probably Rob Pelinka has went to like the Buss family and said like, hey, like I want to trade another 2 to 3 years away for, you know, these two players.
In. Yeah,
and they were like, nah.
Yeah. No, because
look at what we're missing out on already. Like we have LeBron James, we have Anthony Davis, but we're not winning right now. And we might lose out on a generational superstar talent.
And they could unload all those draft picks right now, and it's still not going to be enough firepower to compete in this West.
No, because eventually...
Here's the problem with that. Real quick, I'll let you make your point. Teams can smell the desperation on the Lakers. They know you got LeBron. You got to make a move now. And he's not getting any younger or anything like that. So guess what? Now you go to the Pacers, and it was 2 first rounders and Russell Westbrook for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Now they're like, you know what? Let's throw in a second.
Yeah,
what other young player? You know, we like Austin Reeves. You know, they're going to start to put the Lakers over the bow real quick. So you're not going to see everybody's expecting a trade to come like right now. You won't see a trade from them for at least a month because they have no. If they did a trade right now, it would be worse than the Anthony Davis trade as far as like what they gave up. It would be horrendous.
And I don't think Indiana's as bad as everybody thinks they are. Like,
yeah, I'm just...
I think Ben Mathurin's been a fucking animal.
I mean, he's the
so
rookie
far.
Of the year so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if there's like this desperation for them to make a trade. I don't know. I just don't think... Even if the Lakers make this trade, right, and they mortgage another 2 to 3 years of their future by getting Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, right? Eventually, LeBron... I mean, we already see LeBron James is kind of like...
Dude, he's in total fuck it mode.
Yeah.
He is logo LeBron right now.
And then you can never depend on Anthony Davis. So are you really going to trade 2 to 3 years more of your future for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner?
They might be that dumb to do it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If they do it, I mean, that's on them. I think that just makes them a play-in team. Maybe a little higher if they can go on a run. But I don't know. It's tough for them. But I don't know. I think for them,
so
that trade had one championship in it, and that's... It's what it is.
We're 2 weeks. It's totally going to change. But the West outlook, what do you think? Like, where would you stack the Pelicans, let's put it that way, in this West?
Dude, it's hard. It's hard. A difficult question because you look at teams that are in the playoffs right now, and like teams have only played, what, 5, 6,
mm-hmm.
7 games or so. I mean, San Antonio is the 3 seed. I'm looking at it.
Yep.
Portland's the 1 seed.
Yep.
Utah's the 4. Teams that... Excuse me. Teams that I don't expect to be there are there. And teams that are at the bottom, Dallas is out of the play-in.
Clippers.
Out of the play-in. So like these teams probably flip the switch.
Yes.
So it's too hard to make a case. I will say this right now though. I mean, I believe in the Pelicans. I believe in Phoenix. I think those are good teams.
Yep. What? So if you had to put
the Warriors lost again today.
They're 3-4.
Let's say there's a tier, which is a top four seed, is where you should be. Mm-hmm. B tier, 4-8. C tier, play-in team, fringe play-in team. D tier, lotto, you know, stink. Where would you place the Pels?
Oh, I think we're in.
I mean, after this first 2 weeks.
A top tier.
It has to be the A tier, man. I struggle to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the team that I'm going to take out of the A tier and replace it with the Pelicans is Dallas.
I mean,
because
depending on what happens to Kawhi, there might be another argument that the Clippers can't get there either.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, that's a sure thing.
Because going in, my top four would have been Phoenix. I'm still going to keep Phoenix there. I think they're legit.
Yeah. I mean, a Chris Paul team, as long as he's healthy, is always going to be a.
So I still think Phoenix is the top of the pack. I still have Golden State there, unless this Draymond thing gets out of hand. But I think they're going to recover. They're going to be fine.
Dude, how good is Jordan Poole?
Jordan Poole's been great. And then I had Dallas there, and I had the Clippers there. So for right now, I'm going to take Dallas out because we've seen them healthy. And, man, it's just, unfortunately for them, it's just more of the same, right? It's more of ball watching Luka.
Yeah.
So what are teams doing?
They don't have enough.
What did the Pelicans do and what are other teams doing? Dude, just go double Luka and get the fucking ball out of his hands.
Yeah, I don't think they got enough shooting either.
You know, Dinwiddie's shooting the ball well. It's a good pickup for them. But Christian Wood's been a great sixth man, probably sixth man of the year right now. But if the ball's not in Luka's hands, who's taking over the game?
Nah, dude, Christian Wood's rice paper on the defensive end.
Yeah, he's not good. But I'm just saying, you know, you think that team made the Western Conference Finals last year, and they added Christian Wood.
I mean, that Western Conference Finals wasn't. I don't think that was the true picture of the West.
I don't give a fuck if it's a true picture or not. Yeah, if the Pelicans are making it, I still get to say that. Year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
you're right.
Yeah, I just, you know, I know they lost the point guard.
Brunson.
I know they lost Brunson, which was obviously a huge loss because Luka didn't have to be in there, and Brunson could have taken over that role. And you're kind of seeing the effects of that early into the season. Could they figure it out? Hell yeah. Is Luka a transcendent MVP type of talent? Hell yeah. But right now, the Pelicans are doing this without B.I. The Pelicans are doing this without Herb Jones. They're 4-2. They're a Kelly Olynyk travel layup weird floater away from being the number one seed in the NBA right now. And that's without B.I. That's without Herb Jones. So I got to put the Pelicans
right
there.
When B.I. was playing, he looked
like an MVP
absolutely
candidate.
Absolutely incredible.
He looked like a 27-7-7 guy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And Herb Jones was right where he was at.
So. Yeah, I have to put them in the A tier. I don't know if y'all agree or disagree, but I hate saying it. I hate doing that, but from what I've seen, we're the...
No, it's just like I think the conception by most people, ourselves included, was that, you know, we're closer coming into the season. We're closer to that B tier. Things are going to take time. And I think Willie and his group did just such a great job. And, you know, I think we've been burned so many times on expecting the young guys or the role players to grow that we finally were like, yeah, you know, they are where they are last year, but we're not going to expect anything crazy from them because we know they're starting five, and that's why we're going to be good. But all the role players pretty much grew in some way, just about that have been contributing. So,
you know what's crazy too? Just a random wild stat. We're the only team with 3 wins on the road right now. Besides who?
The Spurs.
The Spurs. The Pelicans and the Spurs are the only teams in the entire NBA with 3 wins on the road. That's crazy. That's absolutely wild. So we just got to get better at home.
Yeah, I mean, we only had 2 games at home so far, huh?
Right, we only had 2 games at home, which there's been a lot of teams that have only had 2 games at home, but I say a lot of teams. It's like 5, 6. But at the end of the day, we're handling our business on the road. It seems like our team actually plays with more energy on the road. Does that seem like a fair statement to say? The defensive effort felt a lot higher.
A little bit higher.
I think Utah was just a letdown game because they kind of played down to Utah like a little. Not play. I mean, Utah's better. I don't want to make it sound
Utah's
like that.
Utah's playing great ball. They're playing high energy.
But I think they thought they could walk over Utah and. They just didn't have the effort they had in all other games in that first half, and they had to play catch up in the second. It burned them. I mean, Zion specifically, like, you know, he did not look good that game.
I have a question for y'all. How does Devontae Graham's, how have they looked so far for you guys?
Oh, I think Devontae Graham has looked incredibly serviceable this year. I think he's playing the exact role we need him to play.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like maybe last year he was asked to do a little too much. And, you know, now he's in the role that he needs to be in, and he looks great. I mean, like, hits the threes when he needs to hit them. He's driving a lane. He makes some smart passes. He's had some incredible blocks this year, which, like, for a guy who I sat next to him on a plane to Orlando, he's the same height as me, maybe just, like, a little bit taller. So, I mean, like, for him to be blocking, like, you know, taller players is just, you know, a surprise. So, no, I think Devontae Graham has been a positive asset this year. I can't say nothing bad about him.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a fan of him and Jose minutes together. But I have to say tonight he played good, and I have to say I have to give, and y'all know who's coming, I have to give kudos to Najee.
Yeah, I know you're struggling saying that.
He's been playing incredible.
Najee's only my least valuable play because he knocked out Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, that's
the only
reason. I literally told everybody here right before the season started, I said Najee's going to hurt somebody, guaranteed.
Devontae Graham shooting 45% from three.
Yeah.
Just, man, I was going to say this about Devontae Graham, because if he's shooting the way he has been shooting, he's our only other sharpshooter, I think, that we could trust putting in that lineup with Zion. And you see Willie actually trusting it. And that lineup that we run, where it's CJ running the point, Devontae Graham at the two, and then you have Trey Murphy at the three.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like such a beautifully spaced lineup. And then you have Zion and Larry Nance out there as well as the bigs. But man, that lineup is awesome.
Yes.
And it only works because Devontae Graham is making his three-pointers this year.
Yeah.
And I think he opens up a lot for this team. And I was that, like, the biggest surprise to me for this first 2 weeks of the season has been how positive Devontae Graham has looked so far.
It's like you're so worried about Zion and Jonas just beating the shit out of you in the paint, and all of a sudden, like, just a haymaker comes from the perimeter and either Trey or Devontae. And it's like you could see it in the Clippers game when Devontae made that one to put us up like 20 or whatever. It was like Clippers were like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like, we can't fight back on this one. Like, you could just tell we kind of beat the fighting spirit out of teams. How to end the games. And that's happened more than once. It's definitely happened in Brooklyn. It's happened in the Clippers. You know, it's pretty impressive. Like, teams really try to bring their best against us already. And we're hitting them right back down. So I'm impressed. I mean, I don't think there's much to comment on the Phoenix game. Like, I don't really take anything away from that.
Besides injuries, do you see any negatives from any players that, I mean, literally, there's one obvious one, but I mean,
literally none. There's not a single role player right now. I'm like, that dude sucks. Besides,
there's one.
Two obvious ones. One might need more minutes, and one, I don't really count him because he's not going to play when the team's healthy.
Yeah.
Garrett Temple's one.
And Jackson Hayes,
unfortunately, you're right, man. It feels like to ameliorate Jackson Hayes' issue, he has to get more minutes, but unfortunately,
it's almost
like you have to tailor it around his ineptitudes instead of tailoring it around his strengths, and that's a frustrating thing to do as a coach. And you could tell, like,
you could when see he's really trying to fit him in.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is, and he's trying to put him in the best position. He's out there with Zion when Zion's running point, and he's putting him in the dunker spot. He's out there with shooters, so he's got a little bit more space in the open court to run, but just negative minutes, man.
I think somebody said up until the Phoenix game, he hadn't shot a shot inside the 3-point.
Well, he had only shot two shots.
He only took two shots. Okay.
He's not taking any. But that's why I say, like,
he sticks out like a sore thumb on the defensive end, so coach is just taking him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to give him time as a prospect anymore. That window is closed.
Here's the deal, too. You got to think about this. Jackson Hayes, up to this point, has been more of a benefit offensively than defensively.
Yeah.
And we are the number three offense in the NBA without Jackson Hayes. So we don't need him to contribute offensively.
Yeah.
What we need him to do is use his athleticism and play the defense that we clearly want to play that we can't play with Jonas out there, which is just switching everything, yeah. right? Just switch everything, double as often as possible.
Well, he should be good because he allows switching, but he just...
Jackson Hayes has the athleticism to switch and not get burnt immediately.
Yeah.
You know, the Pelicans are playing absolutely amazing defense. They do this thing, man. It's every game they do this, where they'll send... Whenever they get switched, they'll send a double team.
Yep.
But when they get rid of the double team, the guy who switched initially will run back and find his original guy. It's like a really awesome defensive play that they do. And they're switching off ball all the time, too. So if you get switched, and let's say Jose Alvarado gets switched to Jonas Valanciunas' man or something like that, off ball, Jose would switch back with Zion, so Zion's got like a more favorable defensive matchup than what Jose had. Or something like that. That happens every single game, and it's beautiful. But that would work so well with Jackson compared to Jonas. But he's just so lost out there, man. Yeah. It's very difficult to watch. And we're fans. We're fans of Hayes. I mean, it's hard to see that.
Then my thing behind where I don't really want to point it out too much because like, it's pretty obvious that Jackson Hayes' future is not going to be here. So it's like,
fuck no,
he's I doubt it. The Roy Cup, it's not gonna happen for him here. He's too awkward of a fit. He's gonna want more money than we're probably willing to give. And to be honest, we can use depth at the an actual big.
And this would be his opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
With all these players That's missing. Just,
how it goes.
And he's not, you know. Dyson Daniels, on the other hand, was a player we all said was not going to get minutes.
How spoiled are we as Pelicans fans?
So that was going to be my next question. Are his ankles a non-story or a story? Go.
It's got to be a story. It's got to be a story. He's played significant NBA minutes, and his ankles have prevented him from playing the next game each time.
And this is going back to Summer League, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's played significant NBA minutes twice.
I didn't think about it.
He couldn't play the next
Summer
game.
League, ankle injury. Preseason, ankle injury. Start of the season, ankle injury.
Ooh. Yeah, I actually didn't notice that. I don't know why.
That's the only reason I'm bringing it up is because as soon as we get to see what he's got, right? Like in the preseason, first game, ankle injury. Then we get into the preseason
and
he starts getting some minutes, ankle injury. Down, out. Get him back for the start of the season where we really need him right now, right? Like we really
need Dyson.
We really
right now.
Need him right now, you know?
Well, ankle he didn't injury. Have health issues in the G League.
But what I'm saying is it's going to be one of those things like later down the line, we're going to get an injury update. It's like Dyson Daniels successfully had surgery on his ankle.
I can't say that for sure or not.
I hope not because he looks like a fucking defensive stalwart out there. Him and Jose lineups were filthy.
Is it a high ankle sprain? A low? Like what is it?
He looked like he was. If it was high, he'd be out longer.
But did it just swell up after the game because he played full minutes that game?
Yeah, it was a shock when Dallas. I was like, oh, well, he's out.
I wonder if it's the same leg.
I think it is the same leg.
Mm. I don't know. Young players just have to get used to the wear and tear, prep a little better as far as like health preparedness for his ankles. He might need to start putting some tape, get some of them curry.
I just think this is a perfect time for him to develop a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's out. And so now Herb's eventually going to come back and then his minutes are going to just,
it's going to be really interesting when you throw this monkey wrench in, which is going to be coming around the corner soon.
Oh, Kyra.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another.
Cause you can't, I mean, he's going to have to earn the minutes back, but
Just bring them back slowly.
Slowly.
That's what they're doing for sure.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have to expect that, like...
Well, he's not going to want to stay... He's not going to want to stay out. They'll bring him out slowly, but, you know, it's getting close to the time where we're going to have to... We picked up his option, so he's good there, but he's going to start showing he can make money.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? Like, at the end of the day, we always say this, like, oh, there's not going to be minutes. Listen, this is the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep.
Someone's going to miss games, and someone's going to have to slide into a spot.
Yeah.
So, he's like, if he comes in and earns his minutes back, then it is what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If he takes those minutes from Graham, he takes them from Graham. If he takes them from – I'm not even going to say that because I hope he doesn't get hurt. But, yeah, I'm just saying that the opportunities are endless for this fucking team because we always get hurt.
Do y'all see anybody better in the West than the Pelicans straight up right now?
Anybody better than the Pelicans?
Yeah.
I would pick Phoenix.
Yeah. Phoenix.
Phoenix is a deep team like the Pelicans.
Yeah. I don't think they're better than a fully healthy Pelicans. I think we match well with them.
I think we match well with them. I just think that I feel like every time we fucking play those motherfuckers, dude, they just get the benefit of the whistle every time. I feel the refs swing the games for them every time, I feel like.
Well, they weren't going to win the other game just because of how low they were as far as, and you got like, you could tell like Jose playing 30 whatever minutes was starting to get to him because, you know, he's just such a high energy guy. He can't play that way for 30 minutes.
I think
I'd put Phoenix and Golden State as the two that I don't want to see in the first round.
The only other team I wouldn't want to see, and I know y'all going to be like, oh, this team's going to come down. I don't know. I just feel like Utah was
this month.
I feel like Utah just kind of like,
I just don't think you have to worry about them making the playoffs.
No, but I think they're always gonna be a struggle for us just because of how they play.
Yeah.
Well,
they remind me a lot of that Brooklyn team we were talking about. Very similar.
I mean, everybody on that team can shoot the three ball.
Mm.
And then so you know, you can switch all you want, but there's just gonna be some times where Jonas Valanciunas isn't gonna chase somebody out to the 3-point line. And if they're hitting, they're hitting, dude. So I don't know. That's the only teams like that scare me. Bigger teams that can shoot the piss out the ball scare the shit out of me. But overall, I think we're a better team. But you know, they were working us that whole night.
I feel really good about this team this season, though. Like really good about it. You know, besides the whole, I think we're all just kind of like standing on the edge of like wanting to be super excited just because of injuries.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we know, and like people get mad or whatever, but it's like we're Pelicans fans, dude.
And let me rephrase that statement though. If BI finishes that game, I think we win it. Yeah. I think when we're down, someone like BI, it's hard to beat a team like that.
Yeah,
because there was time where we just couldn't, like, they would just pack the lane, and Zion couldn't do shit.
Yep.
And in those times when Zion can't hit shit or do shit, it's so refreshing to just have BI just do a pick and roll. Elbow jumper and it's fucking in and it just kills the other team's breaks. Whenever a team can just score and we're just relying on, you know, Zion being
also BI is not one who really gets too screwed on the calls either. He gets the whistle.
Yeah, I think if we want to be considered that A-tier team, BI has to be out there, right?
Yeah.
Like that's not that question.
That's why I feel good about it because I do think BI's at, he's all-star level plus.
It is frustrating though because we are 4-2. Pelicans fans are hyped up. We're excited. But I think it would be unbelievable how excited we would be if we had a fully healthy team right now.
Yeah.
You potentially talk about 5-1, 6-0.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it should almost be stated a little more like, hey, you know, because look, it's not like we're just barely beating teams or, you know, we are crushing some teams.
Yeah.
Right.
We're crushing their souls. Like I said, putting the fight out of them, but beating these teams by 20. Like, starters are coming out. As Pelicans fans, how much we see starters coming out fourth quarter.
I know. It's awesome to see, man. That's what's so frustrating, man. We're beating teams by 20, and it's like, we should be beating them by 40. You know?
Yeah. And also, you're like, man, Zion had 21 points. That's it? And it's like, yeah, well, he didn't play, like, you know, the last 4 minutes of the fourth.
Yeah, I just, you know, let's just pray for health. That's always the thoughts and prayers for me of this team. And Brandon Ingram, you could tell Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones, they were on a fucking mission.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell, dude.
The whole team's on a mission.
You could fucking tell they were on a mission and they were not afraid. And they were like, they deserve to be here.
Yep.
That's not true for every Pelican right now, but as a collective unit, as a team, hell yeah.
I would say most of them. I mean, you look at Larry and CJ, and they are just leaders on, audible leaders on the floor.
Right.
Larry is telling people where to go, where to be. You did that wrong. Like, let's fucking go. Let's get it together. CJ the same way. You know, CJ just calms it down. He's like, all right, look. Y'all take a break. I'm about to go cross this dude up real quick.
I know. I love it. Dude, that's some of my favorite CJ plays. You're like, fuck, dude, we need a bucket, man. Let's calm down. Let's go get a shot up.
He waved him off and did ISO. And
Yeah. And then CJ's like, I got it. And then he'll go make a ridiculous fucking shot.
He's some nasty shit. Boy.
His game is going to look a lot better with BI out there. I have a feeling, dude.
I mean, it does.
It's going to ameliorate so much. It's going to dissipate so much tension that they have on CJ. with those other guys out there.
He just fits so seen. I thought it would be a little awkward for him because remember how awkward it was for like Drew when Drew was with more of a superstar team?
Yeah.
Well, like with CJ, he's fitting in just fine.
I think so.
Like, yeah, he might not be hitting all of his shots or whatever, but they all, like he said it before. He's like, oh, it averages out, you know, I get to my percentage.
Yeah.
Like he gets there, I don't know. He's really playing well, and he's a big part of the reason we're 4-2 right now, especially with the injuries.
Top three offense, man.
Everybody's ready to credit Jose and everything like that, but CJ really runs that first unit.
And we were afraid. Yeah. We were afraid of like backup point guard minutes. Or I know a lot of people were even talking about starter point guard minutes before the season started, which is unbelievable to me, but. I mean, dude,
you see, it doesn't matter with how the playoff.
I just love what we get from CJ and Jose and Brandon Ingram and fuck Dyson Daniels.
I think we had 32 assists today.
32 assists. They were talking about we need a lead guard.
Yeah.
What part of this team made you think that we needed a ball dominant guard?
I do like when Jose does come in sometimes and he just reminds me of how Chris Paul watching him, you know, as much as I guess they don't like each other or whatever it is, but Jose does that thing where he just kind of dives into the paint, gets in between the trees and just does something crazy. Like you saw the bounce pass he had to Larry today.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. So, I mean, there's obviously a benefit to that, but this team, the way they play offense, it's not needed at all. And CJ is playing his role perfectly, I think.
No, definitely. I think the only thing I would change about Jose sometimes is just sometimes chaos. It's just...
That's Najee.
Overwhelming.
That's Najee's chaos.
Najee too.
Najee is chaotic, dude.
I mean, look, Jose was 0-for-5 tonight with 2 assists. Only 1 rebound, and he was still a positive on the court.
Yeah. I mean, because he busts his ass out there, and he's a smart player.
Effort play. But yeah, going back to like our guard position, dude, Dyson Daniels showed me enough that I'm confident putting him in there as a guard in almost any situation, I'm being honest.
Yeah, because I mean, he's got 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be ready for 4 yet.
It might be tough.
Fours, but I feel like, you know, if you got a switch, he could probably hold his own there.
And then B.I. is a ball handler. I mean, he showed that his first 2 games. He's a ball handler. We don't need another one.
Nope. So do you think there is any need we need to address? Or let's go with this team.
I think our team is here.
Mm-hmm.
I think our team is here. The backup big minutes make me a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy we haven't seen Willie at all.
I know. And Willie's doing some cryptic tweets with the hourglass thing. The past 2 games he didn't play, he like tweeted an hourglass.
Oh, really?
Did you see that?
Maybe it's our time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because he don't seem like that kind of guy.
He does not at all. Yeah. And there were stretches of last season where he didn't play at all. So people were kind of looking into that on Reddit.
Mm.
Let me look it up.
That's interesting.
It could be the MVP getting to his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd hope not.
He tweeted a hourglass.
Maybe, you know, maybe he wants an opportunity somewhere to play. I would give it to him. He deserves it.
I like Will. I mean, we all love Willie.
Yeah. You
know, like, we all want to keep him here. I don't know what that means. I don't know why. All the responses are in Spanish, too. I got to touch up on my Spanish.
Maybe he was watching something.
No, it was like right after.
It was like... It was at 4:30 p.m., so it was like right after the game. Who knows? I mean, if that's the biggest drama that we have to deal with is our third or fourth center is having trouble with minutes, then I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Overall, though, first 2 weeks, if you would agree, the first 2 weeks.
An A.
All things considered.
I'd have to
give it an A. And, I mean, only reason it's not an A-plus is because of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, as far as their performance, I would give it that. But, like, my experience, it's a B-.
Oh, I mean, yeah. We can't control injuries. I mean,
yeah,
dude, the Pelicans' injuries have affected my life so much that my my dog tore her ACL last night. Oh, so it's like,
it's crazy, man.
You know, it's just
be careful. Also, look for banana peels.
Also, we haven't figured out yet, but me nor Jonathan is allowed to a Pelicans game for the foreseeable future until
we figure out
what's going on.
I feel like every time I go, we win.
Yeah, as a trio, we win.
Dude, let me tell you something. My brother attends every Pelicans and Saints game possible, right? And they lose every time. The motherfucker is in London, and the Saints shut out the Raiders.
Tell him to stay his ass.
Dude, I'm like,
cheerio, motherfucker.
Dude, yeah, cheerio. stay the fuck out there, dude. Yeah. So, every time he's in that fucking place, we lose. So, I don't know. I'm superstitious, so I believe in shit like that. But, no, I just think, all things considered, team played great this week.
I have a little question. Are you worried about fan attendance if the Saints start picking things up?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
No. Yeah.
I think our fan base is solid. I think
we're still really, like, I think a lot of people were kind of talking about that, but I think we are, like, legitimately starting to see New Orleans take pride in the Pelicans.
First of all, it's considerably cheaper to attend a Pelicans game than it is to attend a Saints game.
And better.
And secondly, we're winning, y'all. Like, I get caught into, like, the analytic / cause effects of attendance and marketing issues. But at the same time, man, you can win, and it solves all of those issues.
Yep.
And what are we doing right now?
Yep.
Fucking winning.
Dude, just think the lowest ticket for the Golden State game on StubHub is $46, you know?
Yeah, that would have been.
And that's that's going to be a high price. That's a very high price game. Yeah. That's a very high price game.
And then if you look down the line, like, maybe like Portland and Houston, like,
it's going to be cheap.
Yeah, cheaper. But, like, you know, people obviously want to come out and see the team play. They're excited about it, you know? Can't expect the Tuesday. I mean, like, you can't expect every Tuesday and Wednesday night game to just be overwhelming, you know?
That's what I say about New Orleans. You know, we're really, like, It really, going back to, like, that super, like, Clippers, what would happen with that, they just want, like, we were there that when they started chanting Jose. They just want to cheer for these guys.
Right.
So that makes a difference, too, I feel like. Because I feel like we could be a winning team. Like, we were with Anthony Davis and stuff, but we were still struggling with attendance, you know, in the year we made the playoffs with them. But, like, AD was kind of hard to cheer for. Personality wise, it's not hard to cheer for these guys on a personality level.
Yeah, you're correct on that. I mean, like, the team just flaunts New Orleans. I've seen more Pelicans gear out in the street than I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, we just went to a bar. We didn't expect to have the game on.
We went to a bar in Araby,
and there was fans in there.
There were people at the bar watching the game, talking to us. It's like, what the fuck?
Wearing Pelicans gear.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Came to watch it just like we did.
Yeah,
so. That's what we should do. We should get like a Chalmette watch party going.
Yeah.
Whiskey P Rogues, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's a great bar.
Might reach them out to see if they want to sponsor us.
We could do one game, you know, something like that. But I think, you know, look, the season only depends on the next game. I don't give a fuck what we do as long as we win the next one.
Yeah, so. To get on to that, what's our schedule looking like?
Yeah, what's up next?
We got the Lakers next.
We got the Lakers.
Wait. Let me ask this question real quick. On a scale of 1 to 10, how embarrassed would you be if we lost the Lakers on Wednesday?
A 10. There's nothing worse I can think of.
It feels like a trap game, too.
It does feel like a trap game. That's why I'm saying it now.
There's nothing more that I cannot, especially if they don't win, if they don't win tonight and we're like their first win. Dude, Lakers fans are going to be... I tell you what, Chris Connor and all those dudes who do the spaces, like, batting down the hatches, y'all are going to be fucking, if they lose that game, it is going to be rough.
Dude, but I would just love for us to go in there and just beat the ever-living shit out of them. Just make you regret being a Lakers fan.
It's unfortunate Brandon Ingram isn't there.
Yeah, dude.
It would have been, I just wanted to go
even better. Out. Let's beat the shit out of him without him. Yeah. It's like, the player you wanted to see. Because, you know, Lakers fans will be like, oh, at least I get the CBI playing before. No, he's not even there. Fuck you.
Yeah.
We're about to win anyway. So that'd be nice.
One Zion dunk on AD would be so nice.
Man, people are just like, man, it's disgusting. I don't want to hear about the Lakers. I don't want to talk about the Lakers. I'm like, please keep talking about them.
Yeah.
Please. A Lakers fan has to wake up every
day. Well, unfortunately, we have to talk about them. We play them next, and we own their draft pick at the end of the season, so we're going to continue to talk about them. We talked about them when they were successful, unfortunately, too, for the same reason. So,
yep. Going to talk about them when they're successful. Please keep talking about them when they're successful.
If we traded that pick to, I don't give a fuck, if we traded it to the Orlando Magic, I'm talking about the Orlando Magic because that directly affects our future.
Yeah, that's what we should,
Right, right.
And so, I mean, I would not care about the Lakers nearly as much if we didn't own their draft capital for the next 2 years.
Yeah, so.
So, just basing on the way we're trying to do the Pelipod now, the next, I guess, 2 weeks schedules of games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got Wednesday at Lakers. God, we've been on a road a fuck ton. Then we play.
Wait, I thought the Lakers we play. Yeah, that's right.
We play at Lakers.
That's Wednesday. That's right.
Friday at home versus Golden State.
Hopefully to return to BI.
Then we go back on the road against Atlanta, Indianapolis, and Chicago.
Fuck, dude. The eight of our first 11 games on the road.
And tough teams. Like, we haven't even gotten a soft. We thought Utah was going to be soft, and they weren't.
And then we have a nice little home stretch, but that's like a couple weeks away. We'll go on to play Portland at home, Houston at home. That's the game I'm going to go to. Memphis at home, Chicago at home, Boston at home, Golden State at home again.
Jesus Christ.
Does it get easy, dude?
And if we just keep winning too on top of it, my expectations for the team are going to be unbound.
Damn, there's got to be. I'm going to have to dig through the schedule. It has to be an easy stretch. That's a tough stretch.
But here's the thing, though. Like, looking at the Western Conference right now,
I don't think there's an easy win. I don't think the NBA is soft anymore like it used to be 3-4 years ago. You know, I think this is a new era NBA where there's just so much talent now.
Spread about.
It's just. Yeah. Any team, like, dude, Orlando's 0-5, but like, you look at their team and
they got a talented squad. Yeah.
You know, Detroit's a losing team. You look at their squad, you're like, holy shit. I mean, Kings are 1-4, I think, right now.
Talented team.
I think that, you know, I think
Lakers, a worst team in the NBA, literally, and they have LeBron James. Like, there's just not really a bad team anymore.
And it's funny, you always hear basketball coaches like any win in the NBA is a good win. And you're always like, oh no, that team sucks. But then, like, you really think about it, like, it really is. Like, the NBA isn't like a talentless league.
When we played Charlotte,
it's not like I don't know if y'all like pay attention to like Spanish soccer, right? Like La Liga, right? Like, there's like Real Madrid, Barcelona, and a couple teams at the top, but like the teams at the bottom are just god awful.
Yeah, just shot.
And kind of the same thing in the Premier League. Like, you got four or five good teams, and the rest are just. But beat the shit out of each other, but like in the NBA, like all 30 teams are capable of winning.
Yeah, it's becoming like the NFL a bit where.
Well, it's also players are lasting in their prime a lot longer now due to advances in medical training and preventative measures as well. So, and you see a guy like Chris Paul, 37 years old, still leading a league in assists. So you got, not only are you lasting longer in the league, but what that means is you have more talent in the league for a longer amount of time, and teams can accumulate talent.
Yeah, and then look at, like, when we played Charlotte, dude didn't even have LaMelo Ball, and they just had like three or four guys that just looked incredible, and I was like, god damn, dude.
That's only going to continue. That's only going to continue as NBA, as the NBA continues to get players that can play in this league for 10-plus years at a time.
Draft picks aren't, it used to be like, you draft, it's Russian roulette. One out of every six are going to even play in the NBA.
Yeah.
One's going to be good. You had the legendary, like, 03 draft. But now, more and more and more, you know, I mean, you could see in, like, Kyra's draft, I still think all the top, I don't even think that was that good of a draft. And I think most of the lottery picks are all playing besides Josh Primo, who's pulling a Louis C.K.,
oh, don't compare Louis C.K.
Dude, I mean, just look at the Pelicans lineup, right? Like, Najee, undrafted free agent. Jose, undrafted free agent.
G League is probably helping with that, too.
And, dude,
what they're doing
think
with that.
About it. Like, Najee played 39 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Jose played a shit ton of minutes tonight. Dude. And then Herb, a second-round pick. You know, what was Trey, 17?
17.
Oh.
You know? I mean, I'm sure I could just go down the list, but it's like, you know, the days of, like, being like, hey, I need this top five pick. Like, shit, Ben Mathurin, if he would have fucking dropped to us like we were expecting to.
That was me and Jonathan's
that
guy.
I know y'all.
Who is our other guy?
We really like Ben Mathurin. Was it Sochan? I'm fucking with you.
Like, I know I'm going to slap you across this fucking podcast table.
A guy who went before us, after us?
Before us. Right before us.
We really liked Murray. We like Keegan Murray. I know we talked about Mathurin
that,
for a
that
long
we
time.
Could like realistically get. We knew we weren't going to get Murray or Ivy.
I don't know.
Shaden Sharp.
Oh, yeah. We were really high on Shaden Sharp. That's right. We were high on Mathurin. We were high on Sharp. I was also high on Johnny Davis. He's not doing shit. So yeah. I got to take the L's.
So we got to give Jesse credit on Dyson, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. He said Dyson Daniels from the beginning, man.
Yeah. But there is just a lot of good. I mean, you look at this draft, a lot of good. I mean, they're all looking good.
Yeah. It's a good class, man.
And then these new players are just, I mean, like.
And they come in
Yama
like,
looks like he was created in some type of fucked up lab.
Yeah, because also, you know? I mean, nowadays these players aren't just like, they're dedicated like systems and like basically like ecosystems of basketball now where these kids are just living the sport.
Yeah, that on top of that, a large percentage of these players have parents who were professional athletes or some form of an athlete.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
my kid has
Steph. He,
my fucking kid has no chance. You know what I'm saying? He's got a math teacher dad and a band nerd mom. In no way he's gonna have a chance at playing basketball. But yeah, these kids are bred in a lab, and like you said, the ecosystem of sports is just unreal.
They come in and they're not intimidated by the NBA because they grew up in it,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And like that's a big part of it as much as anything. So it's really interesting.
The Pelicans have a bunch of picks coming up.
So yeah. Do we
keep getting these motherfuckers?
Do we like us to be over 500 in this 2 week stretch?
I'm gonna hope it's right at 500.
How many games are in 2 weeks? How many we got? Four.
So let's count this up. All right. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 over the next 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Damn.
7 in 2 weeks. So if Lakers
4-3.
Yeah.
God damn. If we're 4-3, I'm
pretty
happy.
Are you sure it's 7 in 2 weeks?
Yeah, dude. Lakers 1, Golden State 2, Atlanta 3, Indiana 4, Chicago 5, Portland 6. Houston 7.
Holy shit. They must play a back-to-back somewhere in there, huh?
Yeah. Chicago on Wednesday and then Portland on Thursday.
Oh, back-to-back home.
Yeah. And then we play... This one's tough. It's Wednesday, Los Angeles, then Friday home at Golden State, and then the next day, Atlanta.
So we got another back-to-back coming up right
now. We have two back-to-backs.
Lakers.
Yeah, so we have two back-to-backs coming up.
And we're playing Atlanta on that back-to-back.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay, so over 7 games, you can't be at 500. So over under, over under 4 wins, what'd you say?
Shit, honestly, Jesse, I'm looking at this. From Wednesday to Wednesday, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I just went from in
seven,
the actual.
We have 9.
Well, no, I didn't go Wednesday to Wednesday. I just went in week terms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
This 2 week for the podcast.
So it's 8.
No.
For 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. I was like, if you start the day one at the Lakers, I got you. Yeah. I got you. Okay. So 2 weeks from today, yeah. Hopefully we're 4-3, man. I mean, we're still battling injuries.
Would you be okay with 4-3 if we were fully healthy?
Dude, we were 1-11 last season. So 4-3, dude. I'm not tripping over that. I'm not tripping over fucking 3-4.
So that would put us at 8-5 starting the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get healthy, 8-5. We're still figuring it out. I think we go in that late season stretch like we always do.
So y'all both say a push.
Yeah. We're only going to get better. That's my thing. Like,
I'm gonna say over 4 games.
Yeah. I'm trying to survive this injury part of the season.
I think it's ending.
Okay. All right. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah. No, I don't. Look, there's only one way you can upset my fucking month, and it's losing on Wednesday night
to the Lakers.
That's the only thing that will fuck up my week.
I'll be more upset if we win by less than 20.
God.
Like I want to blow them out the water. That's how
we
much.
Could go 6-1 if that one is the fucking Lakers game. I swear to God, dude,
it's gonna be the game where Russell Westbrook is just on. He's fucking lights out shooting. Dude. He's 7-for-7 from 3.
Put Jose on his ass and just shut him up. Yeah,
I don't know, man. Like I said, I just that's the game we gotta win for me.
Okay,
but in all reality, dude. I mean, like I said last year, what we were 2-16 at some point.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so as long as we're staying at 500 or a little bit above 500, I can't.
I don't want to be like the Stan Van Gundy season, though, where we were just kept floating around 500 till eventually pushed us underwater towards the end of the season. Like, this team's way too talented. We need to just start creating that space now in the West.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if that a serious injury bug does come up, we have some cushion.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that's the message for Willie too, is you just, like I said in the games, you can't stop. When you're in the lead, when you're down, when you're tied, you can't stop. You got to think about that as a microcosm for the season as well, right?
Yes.
Doesn't matter if we're down a few guys or if we're not. If we're 4-2 or we're 2-4, we can't stop.
Yeah.
So hopefully they take that mentality into every game. And coming out of this, like, look, yeah, we had a tough stretch of games and we're 4-3. Let's not stop. Like, we got to keep going. So it seems like they're prepared for that regardless. And I trust Willie. And Willie, we trust.
Last bonus question for y'all. Okay. Do you like late night games or early games?
Fucking early games, dude. I can't stand those late night
games. Dude, the 6 o'clock tip off for me is just perfect. The whole 9 o'clock fucking tip off is very difficult.
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep. I'm actually like falling asleep right now during this podcast at 9:45. Just the early sleeper now, man.
Yeah. I mean, we were at a bar watching that fucking Phoenix game, and I remember looking down at my fucking phone and being like, God damn, like, I'm going to have to get drunk a second time at this bar to make it to the quarter. Like, dude, those games just last forever. Especially, like, when you're playing a team like Phoenix and they just get the whistle every 5 fucking seconds.
Yep.
Yeah, those games just last forever. No, I love matinee games. It was great to, like, just wake up and watch a 2 o'clock game. It was a messy game.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, what is
we'll
that?
Figure it out.
What time was it in L.A. when they played that game? No, like, noon?
12.
Noon?
That was noon, yeah.
So, yeah. No, I don't mind those. I didn't mind it. Yeah. But I do fucking mind 9 p.m. games, dude.
Yeah, and we play the Lakers at 9:30.
See, that's
on
awful.
Wednesday. That's terrible.
That's awful.
Jesus Christ, dude. That's rough.
Jonathan's not going to be able to stay up for it.
No, dude.
I'm going to have to sneak a nap in, man, beforehand just to stay up for it.
That boy, during the playoffs, it was the same thing because we had to play in Phoenix. And we were like, I got my fucking coffee. Let's fucking do this.
I'm just so tired, man. Yeah. Anyway. 2 kids, and I'm a teacher, so it's rough. I'm not teaching summer school, y'all. Fuck that. I'm going to enjoy my summer school.
Shut up, motherfucker.
Fuck. Anyway, 9:30 Wednesday. Jesse, we lose that game.
Dude, if it's a 9:30 game and I stay up all the way
to
fucking 1 a.m.,
the chat,
for them to fucking lose,
Jesse would be so pissed.
Jesse's the most positive guy on this podcast right now, and if you were to see this group through the text messages we have, you would think, who is this goddamn asshole?
Yeah, in
the moment,
toxic.
It's like one dunk from the Clippers. They don't care about defense.
Yeah, it's
like, that's Jesse.
Zion gets his shot blocked, dude.
This
fucking worst player I've ever watched.
Embarrassing,
dude. Like, I just can't stand. Like, I get in the moment, dude. I get frustrated.
You know what I call that, Jesse? Passion.
Yeah,
that's a euphemism for what Jesse is. Care. He's passionate. The second you go radio silent, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's I'm worried.
I'm worried, yeah.
Yeah, then I'm worried, yeah.
No, I just want to see the team do good and not give up open 3 points.
All right, dude, beat the Lakers. That's all we want. Beat the Lakers. Yes, indeed.